You're listening to the Pinball Podcast with Don and Jeff.
Hi, this is Jeff from the Pinball Podcast. I'm here today with two special guests for an interview. We've got Barry Ausler, legendary pinball designer, and we've got Joe Zenkus, who's going to be driving the interview today. Barry, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate you taking the time, and we really appreciate the opportunity to sit down and talk with you a little bit.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah. So for those out there that are kind of wondering how this came about, Joe approached us and said, hey, I think get Barry on the show, and I was really excited about that. So Joe's prepared a handful of questions, kind of some things to talk about. So I'm going to turn the steering wheel over to Joe and let him drive the interview here, and then we'll just have a discussion, and kind of excited to see how this goes, guys.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so we know you're working for Highway Pinball, and I know you can't really tell us the title you work on. In fact, you may not even know at this point, but in general, what do you think of the company and how they're designing and building cabinets with swappable playfields?
I mean, I think it's going to be fun. I mean, it's kind of hard right now because I'm trying to do everything remotely. So, I mean, they're, you know, several thousand miles away. So,
right.
But I mean, I think it'll be great once we get this thing rolling. Because I mean, right now they're trying to get their own production game going right now. You know, with the Full Throttle game.
Now, do you? I know that. Is it Norman left the company? Do you think they're too aggressive on trying to get these tables finished, or do you think they're going at a good pace?
But what I can tell, I mean, I don't really know too much because I'm not really there, so
right.
I only know what I hear.
Okay. If I was successful, do you ever envision yourself getting it back into pinball design full time?
That's possible, yeah. I mean, either there or somewhere. You know, I'd like to.
That's good to hear. Now you're currently using an AutoCAD clone to document your playfield after you sketched it out on paper. I know you tried learning SOLIDWORKS. Do you ever foresee a day when you jump to doing design in 3D?
Possibly. Once I learned it, I just didn't really have time to go and study and learn the whole process right now because I already knew AutoCAD
right.
from before, and this made it a lot easier. I mean, I worked on it for a week or two, and I picked it right up again. So.
Yeah, and I know from experience it's really hard to jump on a new software platform, especially when you're starting a new project.
Right. I figured I could do one or the other. I just couldn't do both.
Right. All right, so the question I have to ask, Vonnie D., were you ever actually involved with them?
Not really. They'd sent me some pictures and sketches of what they were doing with their Gremlin game, and they wanted me to help them out with it, and then they kind of fell off the face of the earth. I tried contacting them. I hadn't heard anything from them for like 6 months.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, when I sign up with Highway, all of a sudden they're looking for me.
Maybe that was a good thing.
Yes.
So I was
interested, I mean, in doing something with them, but nothing happened.
Did they just kind of grab you at a pinball show, or how did that happen?
God, I'm trying to remember. I think they emailed me or called me.
Okay.
From what I remember, because I don't think I actually ever met any of them.
Oh, really? Okay.
Right.
All right, so I'm going to kind of jump into history questions. So when I talked to you, you said, and you actually said this at pinball shows, you said you'd sold every pinball machine that you designed kind of when you got let go from Williams. If you could get any of these titles back, what title would it be and why?
Well, the last one I had was Doctor Who. That was the last game I sold.
Yeah.
So I kept that one the longest probably because I like that one. That was one of my favorite ones. I mean, I like a lot of them. I mean, I like Pinbot. I liked having, you know, like Dirty Harry game and Dracula and, you know, the Comet and Cyclone games. I mean, almost any of them.
Right.
Yeah, I have a quick short story. I think I mentioned on the podcast before, but when I was really young, my uncle bought a new in-box Pinbot. And that was kind of one of my first contacts with pinball was he lived a state away. And so when we'd visit my aunt and uncle, I'd play that thing and was kind of mesmerized by it, and I was young enough I didn't really know what I was doing, but I always just thought it was cool how, you know, the visor would open and all that stuff. And years later, my uncle came down with cancer, and he ended up passing away from that. And my aunt had a hard time being around. He had some arcade machines and the pinball machine. She had a hard time being around it because it reminded her so much of him. and just how in the end he couldn't really play him or anything. So she gave him away to a family friend, and then or to another one of my uncles, and he gave it to an accountant, and they got passed around. We lost track of it, and then it was kind of funny. I was visiting, and I asked, so whatever happened with the Pinbot? And they all kind of slapped their heads. They're like, oh, we wish we had held on to that. We didn't know you were going to get so into pinball as you grew up. So kind of a killer thing to lose that. But, man, it was a beautiful machine. The only, I think, maybe 20 people played that thing in its whole history before it left that house, and it was awesome.
Wow.
But yeah, I'm always on the lookout for one. I tease my co-host about making him sell his to me all the time, but it's definitely one of those games that I have fond memories of because of that. I remember my uncle holding me up, kind of propping me up on his knee while I was struggling to reach both flipper buttons, and it was a lot of fun.
It was a fun game.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Next question. Joust head-to-head pinball, that was one of your designs. Do you think the low sales were just because pinball was in a downturn, or do you think two-player pinball just didn't work in arcades?
I think it was a combination of both. I mean, because everything wasn't selling very well at that time. You know, from like 81 to like 85, you know, before Space Shuttle.
Right.
If you're lucky to sell 1,000 games on most of them, maybe 2,000 if you're lucky.
Wow.
And I think it was, the other problem was that if you didn't have two people to play a game, it was harder to play. We had a fixed so one player could run both sets of flippers, but
right.
It was kind of awkward.
Yeah.
It was kind of designed as a two-player game. It's like the Joust video game. You don't really want to play against the game. You want to play against another person.
Yeah. Since pinball's such a huge home market, do you think a two-player game would work in today?
It probably would now. I mean, the only difference is, like with the video games, a lot of people play these things online where they're playing against other people and they're not in the same room even anymore.
Right.
But, I mean, as long as you got somebody else in the house with you, yeah, it would probably work.
It shows whenever there's a Joust there, it's always a wait to get on them. It's always at the Rocky Mountain Pinball Show every year, and yeah, it's hard to get some time on it because it's always in demand. People are hovering around it quite often.
Yeah, there's really
not too many of them around.
There's a really beautiful one that somebody brings to Chicago Expo every year, and it's not only cool to see people play, but you end up playing like a total stranger, so it's kind of like a social pinball at that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, next question. So I own two of your titles, Barry. I own a Space Shuttle and a Fire, and I think what everybody finds when they buy a used one is that the all the vacuum-formed parts are always broken or cracked. Was that life-tested at Williams, or is that just kind of they figured, you know, pinball should be on route for 3 years and it should be fine? Because I noticed when they did the repros for Space Shuttle, they made it like 3 times thicker.
Space Shuttle, I think, was the first game we ever had with plastic ramps, too, so I don't think we really knew what was going to happen.
Right.
And then you know, all the mechanisms that we made, they used to put those on life tests for like months. So they'd run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they'd have a counter going with the mechanisms, but with the ramps, I don't know if they actually did that with the ramps.
Yeah, because like on Fire, you know, you have the loop around, and then it hits that blunt wall, and it pretty much like puts stress on where it's joined on that post.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, nobody makes a repro of that currently, and it's such a huge vacuum form piece that like once that cracks, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, it'd be kind of hard, I know.
Did you ever imagine that people would be collecting pinballs 30 years after it produced?
Not like that. I mean, people always had like older games in their basements and stuff, but I never thought that they would actually even start making them to do it that way, to collect them. You know, they would just buy an old game because nobody else wanted them in the bars anymore or in their arcades.
Right.
Yeah, it's even crazier that some of those machines are actually getting reproduced again. Like we have the Medieval Madness remake, and there's rumors of additional ones beyond that. But it's kind of amazing to think about these games from decades ago coming back. I mean, King of Diamonds and Old EM got remade, and it's kind of cool how a whole generation later they're staying alive and actually being remade. So it's kind of neat to see.
Well, not only
how
that.
How do they get around doing that? you know, with any licensing, or how do they do that?
Yeah, they're doing it through the Medieval Madness. They've bought the license, and Planetary Pinball owns that, so they're able to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, and then when Gene Cunningham filed bankruptcy, they bought a whole bunch of the licenses that he was holding on to as well.
Yep. Yeah, I remember he had all the Williams stuff.
Yeah. So my next question is, Space Shuttle, Space Station was a sequel to Space Shuttle. Are there any titles, yours or anybody else's, that you'd like to see a sequel made?
Oh, good question. I mean, I had a lot of sequel games already with the Space Shuttle and Space Station, and did it with the Carnival themes already.
Right.
Pinbot family.
Yeah, we have the Pinbot family.
Hey, I'll take the child of Pinbot. We could do that.
Yeah, maybe another Dracula game or something. You know, or Doctor Who, one of the good ones. You know.
For me, it'd be Fire. I'd like to see some kind of like 9/11 dedication kind of pinball.
Yeah, we wanted to do something like that, I think, before with one of the games. I think with Space Shuttle, they wanted to put some kind of a... Remember when the Space Shuttle blew up before?
Right.
We wanted to put some kind of like a dedication on it, and they managed and shot it down.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, an updated Doctor Who would be pretty cool. Integrate kind of the new show stuff into it. I imagine that'd be super popular.
Yeah, I think so, too.
All right, so I have one last question from a listener. As a designer that has moved away from early solid state to DMD machines, do you feel that there will ever be a successful merging of the two mediums? And if so, what aspects of video games can be used to enhance a pinball machine without making it too much of a video game?
I mean, I think the only thing we can really do with the video screen is like we normally have is like a small video mode or just some kind of attraction, you know, to the game. You don't want too much to distract you when you're playing it either, though. That's the thing. I don't think you actually want a real full-fledged video game in there. I think we're kind of limited to what you can do. I think maybe that's why those games they had before with the monitors, you know, didn't really take off.
And like Gary Stern always says, you know, the game's on the play field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've thought about that a bit. We get asked that question quite a bit, and I think what it would be is probably more of an increase in competitive features. Obviously, this would not fly in tournament play, but I think it'd be kind of fun if in a 2, 3, or 4 player game, one of the players could do something that would impact what was happening with the other players. Like, kind of a thought is, say you complete a certain combo of shots, it makes it so when the next player comes up, maybe they have kind of like the Addams Family's pulsing magnets to kind of screw with them for 20 seconds or something like that. Kind of like a power-ups or an attack you could do. I could see some of that stuff. I don't know that necessarily requires a video screen or anything along those lines, but it kind of would bring a little bit more of a gamey element into it. But I'm a bit more of a purist, and like I don't mind video modes. They don't annoy me, but I never like think they add much to the game at the same time. I'm fine keeping my nose down to the play field and playing and glancing up for information here and there. But I don't know. It would be interesting to see what they could do, though.
Yeah, because I never really cared that much for myself. Just that, I guess we started something with it, and then every game they have one after that. You know, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I think I'd actually like to see more of that Pinball 2000, kind of the hologram floating over the playfield, because you keep your eye in there. I mean, when I played Full Throttle, it was really strange to just only see the screen like in the middle playfield, and you look up the backlash, you're like, why am I even looking there? Because there's no screen.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I guess they put it there for a reason, though. I guess, you know, I mean, you can see the score while you're playing the game,
right?
Without having to look up.
So one thing that
I haven't really played it enough, you know, to really know if it's a distraction or not, though.
Yeah, I haven't. What's your feeling on that, Joe? Is it a distraction or?
You know, it's funny because I only played it twice at Expo, but it's hard because it's a smaller screen. I think it's only like 5 or 7 inches, but I think it has enough information to tell you what's going on. I don't know, because like with DMD, it's got the animation, but then, you know, like your scores are kind of like really big, whereas what they're doing, it's, I don't know, it's not small. It's like right in front of your face, but at the same time, it doesn't really pop out at you.
Right.
So maybe it's more of a software issue.
Yeah. It's something you'd have to get
maybe
used to.
Maybe it fits the theme better, too. You know, with the theme they got, too, you know, it's like looking at your dashboard with the tachometer or whatever on there.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're trying to do with it on there.
Yeah, I actually like it. I just think maybe they need to do different animation that they are currently.
Mm-hmm. Cool. One thing that I think has been kind of fun over the last 6 or 7 years is a lot of the designers from your era, Barry, have come back in a big way in pinball. If you listen to Steve Ritchie interviews, for example, from 5, 6 years ago, he was kind of really down on pinball. He was going through some tough times in his life, financially, professionally, as well as, you know, medical issues. And now he's back in a big way. We know Pat Lawler's designing with Jersey Jack Pinball. We know Dennis Nordman's up to some stuff and has been doing some things. And recently you've had an opportunity to kind of step back into that. What is it about the designers of your age do you think it is that is it seems like the new blood has a hard time kind of manifesting itself. What is it about your generation that you guys dialed in on that just feels so right in pinball?
Well, it just seems like it comes naturally. Like I never really felt like I lost it. I've been out of it for a while, but then I started doing it. It was yesterday. It's like it's something you're like born with, like people that play music, you know, either you're good at it or you're not, you know. I think that's what it is. Certain people just have a knack for it, and it just comes naturally.
Yeah, kind of like there's a, you know, pinball being a very obviously kinetic thing. It's like you either have that feeling of what makes a good feeling for everybody. I don't know. Yeah, like you said, it's like an artist, like a musical thing. I guess anyone can basically learn to play an instrument, but there's a special select few that really master it. So it's interesting because I keep waiting for, you know, the hot new designer, but it just seems like maybe the way people are brought up in society and entertainment these days that they just have, I don't know, more of a feeling for like the digital world than that physical world or something like that. But it's kind of cool, like a big comeback story for the classic designers, and it's been fun watching them prove again and again that they really are the masters of the craft.
Yeah, the thing I worry about is, you know, if all these designers do pass on, it's like, who's the next generation that's going to keep pinball alive?
Yeah,
I know. I mean, there's a lot of little people trying to make games. You know, they make, you know, one or two games, and I saw a bunch of them at the last show at Pinball Expo.
Yeah,
and I don't even know where these games came from.
Yeah, the boutique pinball makers, I guess, ultimately will have to learn how to run with that torch. But it's been nice seeing some of you guys come back because we've seen some great machines from the older designers, and it's been awesome to see. So one thing, Barry, I wanted to ask you is, you know, you had the medical problems that hit home, for you, and the pinball community reacted with the GoFundMe campaign, and they came out in droves, to support that. I know plenty of people personally that supported that and were watching it very closely. Did you expect that kind of a overwhelming reaction from the pinball community, having been kind of away from things?
I had no idea anything like that was going to happen. I figured, you know, if I could pay off a few bills with a couple thousand dollars, I'd be happy. I mean, it helped out a lot.
Yeah, I thought,
I mean, that I got rid of all the bills at that time, but now all the new ones are starting to come in from, you know, from the last year now.
Yeah. It was fun to watch that go, and just seeing like on the forums and the pinball groups to see people rallying around each other to come out and help. I thought that was a lot of fun, but it shows, and you know, you created a bunch of things that have affected people in a way that they feel like a sense of loyalty or almost like a kinship with you. And you know, a lot of us will never have a chance to meet you, but we have a lot of memories over things you produced. So yeah, it was exciting watching people come out for that. So
there were a lot of great comments too that people sent. I mean, I don't know if you guys were able to read any of them or not.
Yeah,
almost everybody had made a donation, sent a got a comment, and I try to respond to every comment personally to them, you know, either just a simple note, you know, to thank them.
Yeah, I was reading through those. You know. Yeah, those were really nice to see.
Yeah, it's funny that even, you know, the comment I left, a lot of people say, you know, this was my favorite game.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So, I don't have much else, but kind of one of the things I've been asking people is, like, we looked at, you know, pinball documentaries that were coming out or just interviews with industry members or, you know, former industry members 5 or 6 years ago, and the outlook on pinball is really shaky. And then now we're kind of seeing a bit of a resurgence in the industry. What's your outlook with pinball, Barry? How do you feel things are going, or you feel good about the direction of pinball? Do you think it has a good future?
I think there's a good chance of it happening now. There seems to be more companies starting up. So, I mean, 10 years ago, there was nothing. That's why I hadn't done anything in so long, because everybody worked for Stern and there was nowhere else to go. And I never thought that anybody would ever start up another company because it was too much money.
Yeah. And even within
Stern.
But
now you've got Highway, you've got Jersey Jack doing it, and, you know, plus all the other little companies, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And even within Stern, their direction has changed so much. They were on a pretty heavy downward spiral, and then it's just some key decisions were made and some changes, and I don't think they've been this successful since probably early, well, 15 years ago almost, so it's been good to see.
Now they're becoming basically a pinball manufacturer. I mean, they're perfectly happy, you know, taking somebody else's project and running with it because they want to keep their manufacturing busy. Now they're tripling their production floor with that new building in Elk Grove.
Yeah.
All right. They got some good games. I mean, you know, they've all seemed pretty good, everyone I've seen from them.
Yeah, I think so. Well, that's all I had. I don't know, Joe, if you had any other questions, but I don't know if there's anything that you wanted to talk about or promote, Barry. I'll give you that opportunity if you did.
I'm just hoping that this game I'm doing for Highway, hope it takes off and does really well.
Yeah, we're
kind of working on two different things right now for them at the same time.
That's cool.
Yeah, I actually like what Highway's doing, not only the swappable playfield, but just seems like they have their stuff together. You know, you see the videos them posting in their production area, and you get the feeling that they're going to be like the next Jersey Jack.
Yeah,
I hope so. I mean, like I said, it's their first game that's going out right now, so they just have to get all the bugs worked out, you know, at the beginning, like any company would. Once they do that, I mean, they can be big.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, obviously we hope to see you with them for some time, because that would obviously mean success for them and for yourself, and maybe some weird way we can get that child of Pinbot, right?
Yeah, they may get a whole good market there, too, because, I mean, they got all of Europe right there.
Yeah.
Right at their fingertips.
Yeah, that's your thing. It seems like there's needs to be a company in Europe, because even though Stern can ship over there, I'm sure there's some cost savings not having to ship pins over there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there used to be companies in Europe. Remember, there were ones in Italy. There were companies in Spain before.
I think Australia had, what was that one company in the early 80s that went defunct?
Oh, they're the ones that got the Empire Strikes Back license, right?
I remember Sagasa, I think, was in Spain, and it was Zachariah, I think they were in Italy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few people that collect those around here, Zacharias.
Great. I don't know if you had anything else, Joe?
No, I think I'm on a lot of questions.
Cool. Well, Barry, thanks for joining us. This is awesome. I mean, it's a big treat for us. We don't do a lot of interviews, but when we do, we want to make them count. So we appreciate your time. Know you're probably a busy man, and it's not a lot of free time you get to sit down and talk with a couple of goofballs. So, yeah, thanks for that.
Hey, I enjoy it. I mean,
and the
guys I made the games for, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Without the fans, you got nothing.
Well, it goes both ways.
Just making the games, you know.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, like I said, if you have anything else you'd want to talk about, free to. Otherwise, yeah, thanks for joining us. It's been fun. I think, you know, just looking at forum chatter and stuff, a lot of people want to know what you're up to, and everyone's keeping a close watch on that, us included.
Yeah.
And anything you notice, you know, give me a call or send me an email.
Definitely.
Sounds good.
All right, guys. So, Joe, thanks for putting that together, and Barry, thanks for being here. We'll get this out in the next day or two, and we'll you know, be happy to possibly do another one of these down the line in the future.
Sure, anytime.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks, Barry.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, thanks. Bye. Bye.